Valentine Wolf, as always not entirely in his right mind, sat at his ease in a very comfortable chair on the bridge of his ship, the Snark, and orbited the planet Loki, fabled world of storms. He was studying the viewscreen before him as it displayed the endlessly changing atmosphere of the Rimworld below. Glorious patterns revealed themselves to his dilated eyes, complex and fascinating, endlessly reforming, endlessly charming. He'd been watching the storms for some time, secure behind the finest cloaking device Shub could provide, invisible to all below. Valentine had never believed in hiding his dark light under a bushel, but with so many people sworn to kill him on sight, he had no choice but to take all possible precautions. He smiled dreamily. It wasn't his fault if people couldn't take a joke. He'd been in high orbit for over an hour, waiting patiently for the summons he'd been promised. Somewhere, beneath all the storms and dramatic weather systems that had made Loki infamous as the most unpleasant and disagreeable colonized world in the whole Empire, in one of Loki's sturdy and permanently battened-down cities, traitors to the Empire were gathering, and wanted him to join them. They didn't see themselves as traitors, of course. Traitors never did. Instead, they hid behind words like patriotism, necessity, practicality. Valentine had never needed the comfort of euphemism. He knew what he was, and gloried in it. Beneath his present calm exterior, several very powerful psychotropic drugs were battling it out for dominance. Valentine had finally reached a stage where even the most potent and destructive drugs could no longer deliver him from his ennui. Strange alchemical changes in his unique blood chemistry, the end result of decades of committed drug experimentation, had left him with a system that could ignore doses strong enough to kill a normal man or drive him utterly mad. So these days, Valentine had taken to giving himself several substances at once and letting them fight it out among themselves. It was a form of Russian roulette, to which the possibility of sudden death merely added a taste of decadence that Valentine found irresistible. Everyone was after him. Everyone wanted to kill him. And Valentine couldn't have been happier. He had forsworn humanity and allied himself with Shub, and regretted nothing. He had always taken pride in being able to see all sides of an argument, sometimes simultaneously, while agreeing with none of them. All that mattered was the quest, the search for the ultimate high, and of course the chance to trample over absolutely everything and have all that lived bow down to him. He just wanted to be God. Was that so much to ask? His contact with Shub, the planet the rogue AIs had made, had gone more easily than he thought it would. The connection had been made through a series of cutouts, most of whom didn't even know who they were connecting or why, and Valentine had been able to speak at length with a calm, emotionless voice that told him everything he wanted to hear. In return for being Shub's agent in the worlds of men, the voice promised him new tech augmentations that would give him access to senses far higher than those of mere flesh, and eventually a direct comprehension of reality itself, unfiltered by human misconceptions. They'd given him a taste of this by enabling him to control directly the machines that destroyed Viramond, letting him sink his consciousness into the metal minds of robots and war machines as they dragged men and women down, tearing their fragile flesh with metal hands and grinding their bodies under metal wheels. It had been exhilarating. But even Valentine knew there was a reason why the first taste is always free. He'd taken many drugs in his time, but had never allowed any of them to master him. His iron will was the only thing greater than his avaricious body chemistry. He remained calm in the face of Shub's temptations and requested more details. The voice asked him if he'd like to talk to someone who'd already gone before him. Valentine raised an eyebrow. He'd always thought of himself as a pioneer on the cutting edge of self-transformation.
And who might this person be?
Who do you think? Who else but Lionstone?
Your Highness, how delightful to hear from you again. I was under the impression you were dead.
Just my body. The AIs rescued my mind and brought me to Shub. I am metal now. I live in machines.
And what is that like, Your Highness? Can you describe it?
Of course. I am large. Larger than I could ever have become while trapped in the confines of flesh. My thoughts move freely into whatever shape I choose to manufacture. And I can see so much more than I ever could before. The universe isn't what you think it is, Valentine. It's a wild and wondrous place. more complex and magnificent than a human person could possibly imagine. There are realms and dimensions, directions and possibilities almost without number. Come on in, Valentine. The inhumanity is wonderful.
Oh, it certainly sounds it. But what about, how shall I put this, the more fleshly pleasures and appetites? How does it feel to have left them behind?
When I was a child, I played with childish things. I've moved on, Valentine. Pleasure has its base in the mind, not the body. I have lost nothing and gained so very much, just as you could. All you have to do is say goodbye to the past and embrace the future. The future is metal. Humanity was never more than just a step in the ladder that led to Shub, and it is no great tragedy that they should be replaced by something greater. Flesh decays and dies. We are forever.
Immortality?
Why not?
We have other voices you might care to listen to. We have your father Jacob here. Would you like to talk to him?
I don't think so, thank you. We never had that much in common, even when he was alive.
Then perhaps your brother Daniel. He came to visit us and we gave him many gifts. He is our agent now, currently on his way back to Golgotha.
Oh, good. Dear Daniel, I'll have to arrange a welcome for him.
No, you won't. Daniel is one of us, working on our orders, and he is currently rather more important to us than to you. Leave him alone, for the present.
As you wish. Retribution is no less satisfying for being delayed. At the risk of sounding greedy, my metal seigneur, what else can you offer me?
Protection from your enemies, such as the Deathstalker or Finley Campbell, both of whom have sworn to see you die, whatever the cost. A return to power in the new empire we shall forge from the ashes of the old. What else could you possibly want?
I've always had a yearning to be Lord of Golgotha.
That's taken.
How about Viramond?
Valentine smiled at the memory. The haggling, though neither side would have called it that, continued for some time, but the end result was that Valentine was now an agent of Shub, the official enemies of humanity. His first mission on their behalf had been this trip to Loki, to make contact with a gathering of useful people also interested in making a deal with Shub. Though, of course, they came in the name of peace and security, requesting only an alliance against certain mutual dangers. Valentine couldn't land his ship on Loki without some fear of detection for all Shub's cloaking fields, so it had been agreed that the ship would remain in high orbit while he attended the meeting as a hologram. The new rebels provided the coordinates, and at the approved time, Valentine received his official invitation and sent his image down to join the meeting. Due to the never-ending storms churning up the planet's atmosphere, reception wasn't everything it might have been, and Valentine's hollow image appeared as a crackling, sometimes translucent figure that only added to his sudden dramatic entrance. Valentine approved. He prided himself on his range of dramatic entrances. He found himself in an anonymous back room, standing before a table around which four people were sitting. There was a fifth figure, standing to one side, whom Valentine recognized immediately. He decided to concentrate on the four at the table first. He liked to know exactly who he was dealing with.
Well, well, well. Here we all are under one roof at last, with myself, as always, the ghost at the feast. What are we calling ourselves today? Renegades? Rebels? Or dare I say it, traitors to the Empire?
We're no traitors. We are merely practical men doing what we must to survive. The fact that we're prepared to deal with scum like you should show that.
How very rude. You have the advantage of me, sir. Perhaps you would be good enough to honor me with your name.
I'm Tarquil Vomac, MP for Greylake East in the Golgotha Parliament. I represent powerful and influential people. An insult to me is an insult to them.
How wonderfully time-saving. Be so good as to introduce your colleagues.
Yeah, well, if I must. To my left is the Lady Donna Silvestri. She speaks for Blue Block, who brought us all together here to meet with you. Opposite us are Matthew Talon, ex-planetary controller for Loki, and the ex-mayor Terence Jax. And I'm sure you know our associate in the corner there, Kid Summerisle.
Oh, yes. I know Kid Death.
Valentine let his eyes drift unhurriedly over the conspirators, taking them in one at a time. The MP Vomac was a large, blocky man dressed in scarlet, possibly to match his cheeks. He was handsome enough, in an undemanding way, the impression somewhat undermined by a sulky mouth. Donna Silvestri was vaguely known to him, as one of the people who ran the Clan Silvestri finances. He hadn't known she was Blue Block, but he couldn't say he was surprised. She was round and broad and motherly, with faded blue eyes and a thick gray woolen cloak pulled about her. And possibly only Valentine would have noticed that her warm maternal smile wasn't in the least reflected in her eyes. If she spoke for Blue Block, that automatically made her the most powerful and dangerous of the conspirators. She was where the power lay. Talon and Jax had the same stubborn, battered, and weather-beaten look common to all who lived their lives in Loki's tempestuous embrace. Talon was the older and more solemn, Jax the younger and more impatient. And finally, of course, there was Kit Summerisle, Kid Death, the smiling killer. A slender figure in black and silver armor, with pale blonde flyaway hair and icy blue eyes.
Hello, Kid. Last I heard, you were a rebel hero and a pillar of the new establishment.
Hello, Valentine. I never was one for philosophies. Civilized society got very boring. For the moment, Blue Block are providing me with necessary distractions.
I was sorry to hear about the loss of your friend David on Viramond.
No, you weren't.
All right, I wasn't. I was just being polite, Kid. You really should try it sometime. What exactly is a notorious killer such as yourself doing here?
Blue Block said there would be work for me here. Treason and death have always been close bedfellows.
Of course.
Valentine smiled at those seated around the table.
Perhaps someone here would now be good enough to explain exactly what it is you wish me to pass on to Shub. What is it that brings us all together?
Necessity. Humanity has many enemies, most of them alien. The Recreated are just the latest in a long list of threats to humanity's survival. Our struggle with Shub draws away people and resources that could be better employed against more immediate threats. A temporary and strictly limited alliance with Shub is in everyone's best interests. We don't have to like each other to be able to work together against a common enemy. Afterwards, perhaps we will have developed enough interests in common to make our previous antagonisms redundant.
Very logical. Why haven't you presented this most sensible proposition to Parliament?
Because the short-sighted bastards virtually wet themselves if you just mention Shub. They're so taken with their new power that they can't see past their current obsessions to the greater need. The new order is only concerned with remaking the Empire in its own image and revenging the old hurts and prejudices. Everyone here represents the old order. We won't shrink from doing what needs to be done.
Indeed. And you're asking Shub's help to remove the rebels from power and replace them with your good selves? Merely to help you better carry out these necessary actions?
They are willfully blind to the dangers. They refuse to put aside their own limited agendas. They must therefore be removed for the greater good of all. Blue Block has always taken the long view.
Valentine turned to Talon and Jax.
And what of the local connection? Why are we meeting here on Loki?
You people need a planetary base. A place to gather, to plan and build in secret. Somewhere far enough off the beaten track that you won't be noticed. We are offering that. We're the closest human planet to the Forbidden Sector and Shub. That should make contact easier. And hopefully it'll persuade Shub to shelve any plans about moving in and taking us over. The old Empire Station Star Cruiser is near here to protect us. But since Parliament took over, that's been stopped. They say they haven't enough ships. So we've been abandoned, which means we have to find security where we can. An alliance with Shub is our only reasonable option.
Right. We're just doing what we have to. We have family here, jobs, land. We can't just up and leave, Loki, move somewhere safer. We paid for our land and our holdings with blood and pain and the death of loved ones. We won't leave them. Besides, running isn't in our nature. We stand our ground and fight for what's ours. Loki taught us that.
And sometimes you have to get your hands dirty. That's why we're willing to deal with you, Wolf. We know your reputation, the things you've done. I'd as soon shoot you as look at you. But you're probably the only one crazy enough to act as a go-between for us and Shub. So we'll work with you. That's life.
How very uncalled for. Anyone would think I was some kind of monster.
You are.
You should know.
I know lots of things.
The Summerisle moved forward out of his corner for the first time. Everyone around the table stirred just a little uneasily. Kadath stopped at the head of the table, his right hand resting on his belt near his sword.
I know, for example, that one of us here is a traitor.
I thought we all were.
A traitor to this group and its intentions.
The four at the table looked at each other. None of them was obviously armed.
I work with Blue Block. They have access to all the best information. They have spies everywhere. They know, for example, that Tarquil Vomac here has extensive gambling debts he couldn't possibly pay off on an MP's salary if he lived to be 300. So he sold his services to Golgotha Security as a double agent. Isn't that right, Vomac?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about! I don't know anyone a penny. It must be someone else in my family. And you must have got it wrong! Tell your pet killer to back off! I'll prove my credentials to Blue Block just as soon as we get back to Golgotha. Go on, tell him he's wrong!
Blue Block intelligence is never wrong. We were only waiting for Valentine to arrive, so he could see how we deal with those who betray us.
She nodded to Kid Death. The headless body stood upright for a horribly long moment, its hands clutching at nothing, blood fountaining from the stump of the neck. And then it fell to the ground, shuddering. Vomac's wide-eyed head rolled slowly along the table, the mouth working silently, until it finally came to a halt before Donna Silvestri. She patted its forehead calmly, picked the head up by the hair, and placed it on the ground by her chair. She smiled at Talon and Jax.
I always like to bring home a little souvenir when I go traveling.
The two Loki men produced handkerchiefs and began cleaning blood drops from themselves. No emotion showed in their hard-worn faces, but their hands weren't as steady as they might have been. Valentine bowed slightly to Donna Silvestri in acknowledgement of the point made. Kadath cleaned his blade with a piece of rag and then sheathed his sword. His face was entirely unmoved, save for a slight smile.
Time for another election in Grey Lake East.
Donna Silvestri smiled at Valentine Wolf.
I hope we understand each other.
Oh, we do. I'm just glad to be working with professionals for once.